of all, I'd like to thank the organizer of this meeting for inviting me, and I'd like also to thank the Fields Institute for supporting my staying here. I'm from the University of Modena and Reggio Emilia, and this is a joint work with two other Italians, Patrizio and Niccolò from the University of Bologna, and Marketier and Tomasz Kaczynski from the University of Sherbrooke. So the motivation for this work comes from our interest in shape comparison. Shape comparison boils down to find the similarity measures between shapes, and it is at the core of many methods for shape retrieval or shape classification. Many methods concerning shape comparison work like this. You have two shapes in some sense, or two objects you want to compare, and you do not compare them directly, but you build shape descriptors, and then you define a metric between these descriptors, and that's your and the metric between the shape descriptors gives you the similarity or dissimilarity measure between the original shapes. And we are mostly interested in persistent homology as a way of obtaining shape descriptors. In this work, we have focused on the problem of stability in this sense. When you consider two shapes and you take the real objects, for example, these are plasters models, so they are concrete objects, you model them as manifolds, and the measurement you think about them on them maybe are continuous functions. But when you do computation, you really, what you do is reconstruct an approximation of the original real object by means of, for example, in terms of a simplicial complex. And people in computer graphics and in computer vision have developed so many methods to do a reconstruction. For example, this is a reconstruction of this. These are reconstructions of these two models based acquiring the data by a 3D scanner. But these are reconstructions obtained by using stereo vision. And so there are many techniques, and the assumption is that these techniques should give you a good approximation of the original manifold in a sense. And when we compare these objects, we actually compare their reconstruction in terms of combinatorial objects. So we would like that the distance we are computing on the combinatorial objects in some approximates the distance we would compute on the original manifolds. And if during the reconstruction we have made an error, the same more or less this error is not amplified, not increased during the sequent steps of our similarity measure. So actually I should say that probably this passage from the continuous setting to the discrete setting is already well, and this stability in this passage is already well understood in the one-dimensional persistence, as maybe also Yuri Mileiko mentioned in his talk. So we are more interested in what happens in a multidimensional persistence, that is persistence based on multifiltrations. So in this setting we have on the manifold level filtrations given by sublevel set of a continuous function, and on the combinatorial level we have a filtration as a family of sub-complexes of a simplicial complex. And we want to have a look to the link between these two ways of filtrating a space, and of course this is related with what Patrizio said to us earlier. And so first of all we want to highlight a phenomenon that occurs when we pass from discrete to continuous filtration. We call this phenomenon topological aliasing. And also we want to highlight another phenomenon that occurs in multidimensional persistence concerning the homological critical values in the discrete setting. But our ultimate goal is to show that in multidimensional persistence, we can, even if this topological aliasing occurs, we can still pass from stability in the continuous setting to stability in the discrete setting as in the same way as in one-dimensional persistence. Is it okay? So, just quickly, we have a family of nested subspaces of a given space. There is no need of using a finite family of indexes, and not even a discrete family of indexes, and not even a one-dimensional family of indexes in R, but it is the most simple way for illustrative purposes. So this is just not the most general setting we are considering. When you have this family of nested subspaces, this gives you a filtration. You can apply the homology functor, and the inclusions become homomorphisms. Or I should say linear maps, because for simplicity we consider coefficients in a field, and so these are vector spaces. And persistence is about studying X by analyzing how homologic classes change during their lifetime along the filtration. I mean, at two different times, I and J, we can look, for example, at the time I, how many linearly independent classes, homology classes, are there, and then we can count how many of them are still independent at a later time. And this gives, I will be more precise later, this gives us a description in some sense of the space X as studied through this filtration. So usually one works with one-dimensional filtrations, meaning that one varies only one parameter. For example, if we have this population and we can measure each sample with respect to its size. But another way we could study in this population is by measuring the darkness, and we obtain two different filtrations, and one-dimensional homology is about studying either this filtration or this filtration. But multidimensional persistence is about studying the two properties at the same time. And this gives another filtration, which we call a bidimensional filtration. How to obtain a filtration? Of course, filtrations can be obtained as sub-level sets of a continuous function. When we fix a value alpha in RK, we can take all the points that are on which the ith component of F is below the ith component of alpha, and with the usual order relation on RK, we have that sublevel sets includes into each other when this relation is satisfied, like in this example. So in this example, I show the function f taking the space into R2, and I take two values, alpha and beta in R2, and the sublevel set are the part of the space under these values, and so they are included into each other. But instead of using continuous functions, I can, if my space is the carrier of a simplicial complex, I can think of taking a filtration simply by constructing families of subcomplexes that are nested, whose carrier are nested into each other. And this is an illustration taken from the paper by Carson and Zomorodian, where this simplicial complex is built by adding a simplex at a time. Of course, when we have a discrete filtration, we can think that there is a function defined on the vertices of the simplicial complex that tells us the order in which the simplexes enter the filtration. Even if alpha varies in RK, this is still a discrete filtration in the sense that when a simplex enters the filtration, enters completely. In this example, if we take this alpha, the set K alpha is the subcomplex of all those simplices that are spanned by vertices that stay under alpha. So only in this case, only these two one simplexes. Okay. Anyway, it is not important if you obtain a filtration by sublevel sets or in the discrete way. Anyway, when you have a filtration of a space, you can build a rank invariant, which is just a parameterized version of persistent Betti numbers. It's a function that associates each pair of values alpha and beta with alpha smaller than beta to the dimension of the image of the map of the linear map induced by the inclusion. So in this example, if we take this alpha and this beta, the value of the rank invariant for one homology will be 2, because these two one cycle persist from alpha, from the level alpha to the level beta. In this other example, for this alpha and this beta, the value of the rank invariant is equal to 1, because these two cycles get merged and become their homology classes become linearly dependent when we reach beta. And so in this way, this function, the rank invariant, is the function we are using as a shape descriptor. So this is our shape descriptor. Why don't we use the persistence diagram? Because in a multidimensional, in the multidimensional setting, we have not a discrete analog of the persistence diagram. So we are using the rank invariant. The advantage of working in the continuous setting is that we have stability results. In the continuous setting, we can define distances between the rank invariants, the rank invariants of two functions f and f prime, such that the distance between the two rank invariants is not greater than the L infinity norm, the max norm of the difference of the two functions. So this is true also in the multidimensional setting. If we use, for example, the multidimensional matching distance. While the advantage of the discrete setting, of course, is that data are come to us in a discrete form. So the question is if we can still have stable comparison of of rank invariants, also for rank invariants obtained from discrete data. A first phenomenon that we have in the multidimensional setting and that does not exist in the one-dimensional setting is that it is not so evident how to extend a function defined on the vertices to a function defined on all the simplicial complex in order that the sublevel set filtration coincides with that of that given by the subcomplexes. In 1D, it is not a problem, as for example can be seen in the in Morozov's work thesis, because simply obtain the persistent homology of the sublevel set is the same of the persistent homology of the subcomplexes as can be proved by using retractions along these paths. While in the multidimensional setting, we have problems because it is no longer true that if we take a value alpha and we take the part of the simplex under alpha, this has the same homotopy type as the subcomplexes generated by the vertices under alpha. In this example, there are no vertices under alpha, so the subcomplex is the empty set, while the sublevel set would be non-empty. So they have not the same the same topological type. So there is a problem here that we call topological aliasing. How to deal with this? We propose axis-wise interpolation. Axis-wise interpolation, in contrast to linear interpolation, does the job we want. To define an axis-wise interpolation, we must take the least upper bound. We define it simplex by simplex, and for each simplex we must take the least upper bound of the set of the value taken by the function on the set of vertices, and we use induction on the dimension of this simplex to define the axis-wise interpolation and the point W sigma in sigma, for which the value of the axis-wise interpolation phi corner is exactly that of this least upper bound, and phi corner is linear on each segment between W sigma and Y, with Y in the border of sigma, on the boundary of sigma. In this example, if this is our segment, one simplex, and the axis-wise interpolation corresponds exactly to the piecewise to the linear interpolation, because here the least upper bound coincides with one of the with one of the faces of our simplexes, and so a linear interpolation and axis-wise interpolation are the same. But in this other example, they are not the same, and actually the least upper bound in this case is this value, and so we choose a barycenter of this simplex and we give it the value mu, and then we extend linearly on linearly extend the value from W to the faces to the boundary of on the segments to the boundary of the simplex, and so we call it axis-wise linear because it has this shape. And the theorem is that in this way, K alpha is a strong deformation retractor of the sublevel set of the axis-wise interpolation. And here we have some numerical result showing that if we compare two models, for both with H0 and H1, and we take this is the distance we obtain between these models if we do not subdivide the models. If we subdivide the models and we take linear interpolation, we get a different value. But if we subdivide the model and we take the axis-wise interpolation, we obtain exactly the same value as on the non-subdivided model. So the axis-wise interpolation is the one that allows to that really extends the values taken on the vertices. Another problem with multidimensional persistence is that homological critical values behave differently than in the one-dimensional case. First of all, we have a generalization of the notion of homological critical value, which is which is straightforward. And with this generalization, anyway, we see that if we take the linear interpolation, then there may be infinite, even in the in a discrete setting, there may be infinite values that give us homological critical values. In the axis-wise interpolation, we still have that the family of homological critical values is not finite. However, the homological critical values are contained in a set of cones, so that we can say that the set of homological critical values is nowhere dense, it has a measure of zero, and it has we can find a discrete family of representatives of these cones that are given by these points. So that we hope that we can in some way reduce to a discrete study also the study of the homological critical values in the multidimensional setting. Now, our main again, the purpose of this work was to study how stability passes from the continuous setting to the discrete setting. So with the results we have, I've shown you, it is possible very easily to show this final theorem. So we have two manifolds or two triangulable spaces that represent the real objects we would like to compare. But and we have two continuous functions f and g that represent the real measurements we would like to do on our objects. But unfortunately, we only know simplicial complexes k prime and l prime with carrier k and l. That give us approximations of the real objects, and we only know approximating the measurements of f and g that we call phi tilde and psi tilde. And the theorem states that if these approximations are good enough, meaning that there exists an homeomorphism, two homeomorphisms, one from k to x and the other one from l to y, such that the error is small enough in the measurements, then we can find any sufficiently fine subdivision k of k prime and l of l prime is such that computing the distance between the rank invariant of the original, such that the distance between the rank invariants of the two ideal functions is close to the distance between the rank invariants of the filtrations we obtain by restricting the approximated functions to the vertices. And so this is exactly the result we wanted, because it tells us that our procedure is stable. Passing to an approximation, if the approximation is good enough, yields doesn't affect very much the final result in shape comparison. Well, I skip the sketch of the proof, which, however, is not a difficult one. And once we have the result about the axis-wise interpolation, and so to conclude, we have shown that in multidimensional persistence, as well as in one-dimensional persistence, the stability of rank invariants for continuous filtrations passes to stability for discrete filtrations. And this was not obvious at the beginning, because in particular one phenomenon occurs, that of topological aliasing, and that says that linear interpolation is not the right tool to do this bridge between continuous and discrete. But we need axis-wise interpolation or something else that does the job. And so thank you for your attention.